Good morning, everyone. We are back and we are rooted in philosophy. Yes, bell ringers. All right. So welcome back to everyone. Please be mindful that we are back in session. Keep your voices low so that people can hear. So a few announcements. If you need something to be announced from the front, please text 312-343-8396. And that message will be acknowledged. There is some candy sales in the room. Where's the candy?
Candy!
All right, so there's a table in the back of the room where Ellen is, as also you can find Mary Grunewald or Dave Meyer. If you are looking to get your sweet fix, they have Starburst, Snickers, peanut M&Ms, and Hershey bars, one for $2 or three for $5. All Starbursts are getting limited, I hear. Ooh. All right. All of the profits go to the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois. All right. Is the door prize table there? Oh, okay, thank you. I was concerned. I mean, I was just gonna go over there and snatch everything. All right, so we will go ahead and get started. I don't see that I have any text messages. Actually, I forgot to do it, and I will do it at some point, probably while sessions are going on, but we do have, the affiliate has a few awards. So if anyone is interested in checking them out a little later, they will be at the head table to the left-hand side of the podium. We have our Baladin Award that we won in 2017. If you don't know what the Baladin Award is, you can come ask anyone in the room who's been around for a little while. They can tell you all about Jacob Baladin and the award that the National Federation of the Blind gives each year to multiple organizations and or people. We also have an award that we received from Horizons for the Blind back in 2018 for our work, as well as we just recently received an award from Access Living for our advocacy as it relates to accessible vote by mail. All right, and with no further ado, I will introduce you once again to Mr. Kevin Worley, our national rep for this year's convention, to give the national report.
Thank you. All right. Sorry. Well, let's see. I'm going to put this on a stand. Okay, good. Because yeah, take that one back.
Yep. Go to the podium to your left.
Braille, you know,
so. Oh, there you go.
Because you know, Braille is beautiful. So I use my Braille. Otherwise, I'd be standing up here going, "Patty, what are we doing? What's going on?" And Patty will have to find her Braille. So you guys didn't call for a door prize yet? You want to do a door prize before I start? Because I'm going to be going here for about 3 hours. I don't know if you all know, when you're a national representative, you're given a book that has all the latest and greatest and what we're doing and that kind of thing. And when I first started national repping, get ready with a door prize, you guys. When I first started national repping, some 97 years ago, our little book that we got was on the back of an envelope, you know, see, and now we get 172 pages of Braille. So, which is why I need 3 hours. But one way, when you're a national representative, one way to curry favor with the crowd is to give away a prize before you even get started. So that's good. And by the way, I don't know if you all know, there's a tradition, Patty could probably tell you this, and Denise, people who have been lucky enough to represent our national president, there is a tradition that when the national representative goes off stage, there's a Starbucks waiting for him. I don't know if Illinois follows this tradition. Strong black iced tea with a little lemon, just so you know. You may not follow this tradition, and that's okay. Other affiliates do, and if you don't want to, you know, be on the vanguard, that's okay.
I have something
well,
to say here.
Thank you very much for welcoming me back to my home stomping grounds of Illinois. I was, thank you. Oh yeah, I love it, love it. Oh, you guys. I was a national representative here, I think in 2007. And so when President Riccobono called me, will you represent me in Illinois? I said, well, I was there once a few years ago. And he said, yeah, but I want to see if you can do it right this time. So Patty will understand the deeper meaning of that comment. Yeah. And some others will too. Mary Lou and some of my dear buddies. Speaking of President Riccobono, it really is, in a serious note, an honor to represent him and our national board. I have had the pleasure of coming to know President Riccobono now for 15 years, I suppose. Well, longer, I guess, when he first moved to the National Center to be the assistant director of our new institute. And some of you will remember March for Independence, the 3 years we did the March for Independence. How many were there marching? Those were fun, and I got to work with him. I chaired that event, and he was on the team to help plan those events and carry out those events. So I got to know him then. And then through other projects, to serve on a team with him, whether he was chairing it or as a participant on the team, it didn't matter. His quiet sort of confidence that he exuded made a lot of us know in the first decade of this century that he would likely be the next president. And I am so thrilled that the organization picked him. He became a dear friend of mine and such an easy gentleman to work with. And if you get a chance to know Mark Riccobono, please take the time to get to know him. He's a gem. We're very, very lucky. We've had some great presidents. You know, Dr. Tenbrook, he got it started, was a constitutional lawyer who made the world a different place, not just on his blindness advocacy, but his understanding of and advocacy for perspectives on constitutional law. And as I say, Dr. Kenneth Jernigan, who the 25th anniversary of his passing was last week. Someone mentioned that yesterday. I think Denise maybe. Someone did, and I was glad that they did because, and Kathy Randall has mentioned today and yesterday the difference that Dr. Kenneth Jernigan made in her life. And Dr. Jernigan is the first one to find any kind of potential in me whatsoever. I don't know how, but he started asking me to do this and that, and I guess I was okay at this and that, and so he started asking me to do other things. And then he said, now, Kevin, you ought to be a national representative for me. And where does he send me? Puerto Rico. I'm like, I don't know the language. I've never been. I don't know what I'm doing. But I showed up and kind of mumbled through, you know, kind of like I'm doing this weekend. And it went fairly well. And I started being a national representative for him and then Dr. Maurer and then President Riccobono. Please get to know Mark Riccobono and his lovely wife, Melissa, and their kids. They're the greatest. They're just the greatest. And you can always, you know, you can call President Riccobono. You can email him, officeofthepresident@nfb.org. So I want to just say hi to you all from Mark. He'd love to be here, but he can't be everywhere. So let me start with this. How many of you all were in, where were we at National Convention last year? Where? Yeah, good crowd. Where were we? Houston, Texas. And it was a great convention. Now that we're all back together again, isn't it great? I mean, those virtual conventions are fine, but man, getting together and slapping backs and shaking hands and social distancing, but still, you know, being together is a wonderful thing. And you can get highlights of that convention, of course, in the Braille Monitor. If you haven't read our publication, our flagship publication, the Braille Monitor, I commend it to you. I know that in the time of Facebook and social media, it's easy to forget that we still have long form reading available to us with philosophy and current events. And I tell you that you can go to the Braille Monitor in, September, October, November. There'll be a lot of stuff, a lot of wonderful presentations from the National Convention. It's also on the website, all kinds of information featured on our website. And the National Federation of the Blind website, www.nfb.org, is just a wealth of information. How many of you are on the web pretty regularly? Yeah. How many of you are not hardly ever on the web? Okay, a couple. Couple folks, yeah. But if you're a website person, if you use social media, if you're on the web poking around, you will find that our National Federation of Blind website is about as robust and filled with information as any website you'll find, particularly in the blindness field. You know, it's not some websites are, you know, there's a page saying call us. Not us, man. We've got everything that we've ever done, I think, on our website. So, all right. So check out the website for information about, for example, the 2024 National Convention. I will be there. Will you? Where's it going to be, folks? Yeah, baby. You know, I don't think we've ever been to Orlando, have we? only about 57 times. But, you know, the cool thing is we're going to be at the Rosen Plaza, and Harris Rosen is the man. Harris Rosen is, I don't know, he's got to be 80-something. I first got to know Harris Rosen in the, let's see, probably 2001, when we took the National Association of Blind Merchants conference to our BLAST conference to Orlando. And we were amazed. Here's the CEO of this large company out there spending time with us, speaking on our agenda. I was jumping in the pool and there he was swimming. I mean, here's a guy that takes what he does seriously. And I just want folks to know that this is absolutely going to be a beautiful convention. This Rosen Center is just an amazing place. And for those of you who have not been there, I recommend it to you. Get all the information at nfb.org/... all that stuff, convention. And you can see a video about the event, including greetings from the aforementioned Harris Rosen and our convention affiliate, President Paul Martinez. It's going to be a wonderful convention. We're going to do everything we can. We want to make it a safe space. We want to make it inclusive, and it's going to be diverse. It's going to be a family event, and that's what we do, I think, in the National Federation of the Blind about as good as anybody else does. So questions about the convention? Oh, yeah, it's the 3rd through the 8th. Yeah, okay. Is that right? Okay. I always check with Denise. Denise, could you just finish this report for me? That would be really... She did one last week, so I know she knows what she's doing. I know that anyway. So come to the convention. It's going to be fun. And I know that your affiliate and has affiliate assistance for some people, I'm sure. But we also have, don't forget, the NFB Jernigan Fund. You can apply for Jernigan Fund dollars after January. That's for first-time convention goers. It doesn't pay the whole deal, but it gives you a pretty substantial amount of money to walk around and enjoy the convention. What do y'all know about our, I'm so sorry. I usually get that Starbucks by now. What do you know about our 2020, our strategic plan, you know, that we developed over the last year and actually started even before that, a strategic plan. The National Federation of the Blind has published it, in the 2023 October, July Braille Monitor is where it was. I saw it. And I urge everyone to read the strategic plan. The convention of the organization still rules the convention.
iPad Danny Mandrell has joined the meeting
and voting at the convention and our delegates. But over the last year, we went through this amazing process of several stages. We got input from members, discussion groups, surveys. National Board of Directors had a big hand in all of this, of course, because it's going to guide their work. And so we've published this strategic plan, which puts a fine point, helps us with some strategy. How are we going to engage our priorities? We have all these priorities. How are we going to do it? What is the strategy? What is the professional way that we can change what it means to be blind in meaningful ways with a strategy that's not all over the map? You know, we can't do everything that we want to do all at once. We have to set some priorities. And if you want to take a look at the strategic plan, I recommend it to you. I know that Patty was engaged. I know that Denise, I think Maryland, a lot of folks and some other folks in this room. So the strategic plan, in my views, as a business guy, it's a kind of an important thing. And by the way, you know, tomorrow's a holiday, right? For the blind. Yeah. Well, what's tomorrow? Yeah, White Cane Awareness Day. And White Cane, yeah, absolutely. White Cane Awareness Day, smack dab in the middle of Blindness Achievement Equality Month, or Blindness Equality Achievement Month. I always say it wrong every time. It's kind of like I get the pledge mixed up too. Doesn't make me a bad Federationist. I just get it wrong. Okay. But the blindness, equality and achievement month. I hope the affiliate engages in some of those activities, and I'm sure you do, chapter events, and some folks get their city councils and county commissions to pass proclamations about the BEAM month, and that's fun. But there's all kinds of ways to really highlight who we are in the National Federation of the Blind. So that's, we talk about remembering our history and advancing equality and celebrating our accomplishments, which is really what the National Federation of the Blind celebrates during the month of October. And of course, White Cane Awareness Day is a big holiday for a lot of us, right, Kathy?
Right.
Yeah, there you go. I knew you'd participate actively. Okay, so the presidential release, you guys are really familiar with that because I think we just had one here, right?
Yeah.
I heard that. You guys were out of control, I must say. I mean, you guys were pretty, and that was what, the day before the end of our 66 route, or was it? Okay, so, and you all know about the big Highway 66 raising money with our good friend who was biking across the country. Did we have a big attendance at the finale, did we? Yeah, nice. Well, we raised some money, we raised some awareness, and it was so cool that it ended right here in Illinois, where Route 66 ends. I would just say that we do the presidential release around about the first of every month. And if you don't listen to it, I commend it to you. President Riccobono does a heck of a job in telling us all the Federation family news and the dates to come and things that we want to be mindful of. And it's just fun. Now, if you can't hear it live, you know, it gets up on the website, a slightly edited version on the website. So when folks say, well, you know, I couldn't hear it last Monday at 7, I'm like, well, I got news for you. www.nfb.org under the presidential release. Now we are working, as Patty well knows, because I'm blessed to be able to work with Patty and a team to raise some dollars for our state-of-the-art museum that we have the aspiration of building, and we will, and it is going to absolutely be an interactive state-of-the-art museum like nothing you've ever seen, a museum of the blind people's movement. It's in the works. The Federation is already pursuing development of it's just a museum to celebrate our accomplishments, our stories. You know, stories are important. I noticed yesterday people's stories. I would stop in the hall and we would talk, and or even on some of our panels yesterday, and people's stories, they're important, they're vivid, they're illustrative of the lives of blind people. So we're going to celebrate those in a museum, but also we celebrate them just day to day with one another, inspiring each other with our stories from where we come. You know, some of us were born blind and grew up blind, and some of us lost our sight when we were young and met challenges and embraced opportunities. We overcame and we continue to do so. And the individual stories are going to be collected in this museum in a vivid and interactive way. So learn more about it, get involved, lots of information about it, and there will be more to come. And there'll be ways for you to get involved sharing your stories. For one thing, we need those stories. I'm sure we'll have the story of Steve Hostalis over there. And I'm serious, we probably will. Steve is a groundbreaking guy. He's done a lot of stuff. I heard him play the flute years ago, and I'd forgotten how great he was. Wasn't he great last night, you guys? Steve? And such great talent in this outfit. Wait, let me put it another way. A little bit of great talent in this outfit. Oh, come on, you guys. Have some fun with me here. Someone around here has the Braille pocket calendars. I heard somebody say that we have Braille calendars. You can, who has those? Anybody just have them here? Okay. Registration had some, I know, but they're great. I still use them.
Still some left.
Nice. Okay. And we put those together in with the American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults, our partner organization. I would recommend the Braille calendars for those of you who still like to have a Braille calendar and don't always want to reach for the smartphone. Also, our partners at the American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults distribute thousands of Braille books, mostly children's books. It's an amazing program, a library. I used to be in charge of that library for a time in California, and it's now moved to Baltimore. But for years, it was in California. And my colleague Jessica Beecham and I, you guys know Jessica from Colorado. Everybody knows Jessica, also on our national board of directors now. And we, for a few years, managed that library. And it's an amazing operation. And we were the ones that actually had to pack up all the boxes and move it to Baltimore. And it's an amazing library, our friends at American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults. You can check out that website or go to nfb.org, and there are links to that website. We're working a lot of legislation. You all know that we're always engaged, both on the state level and national level. We have our Medical Devices Non-Visual Access Act. And for those who like to take down the numbers, it's HR 1328. It's so important that we find ways to be able to access medical devices. When my wife was dying, she was sick for about 3 years. Bridget was one of those blindness at heart people that we talk about, blind at heart. And she got very sick and was sick for a long time, but I wanted to keep her at home. It was not easy for a blind person to deal with the oxygen and blood pressure and all those things. It just was so hard to do it by yourself. And so I often had to have colleagues. I'm fortunate. I have some people that work for me, but they didn't sign up to work for me as nurses. You know, they signed up to be cooks and secretaries and dishwashers. But I had great, great friends, but a lot of people don't. And so we must pass this legislation, especially as some of us get older. We're going to need these medical devices. So be in touch with your members of Congress whenever they decide to go back to work. And so HR 1328. And that's the, then we have the Transformation to Competitive Integrated Employment Act. And we're still working on that, HR 1263. And that's also in the Senate, by the way, at S 531. We will be going to Washington. What's that? You know, when I want your input, I'll ask for it. All right. Like I used to tell my kids, when I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. Thank you. I'm kidding you, Denise. Oh, you know, Denise and I love each other. Don't we, Dennis? So thank you. Yeah. So we're going to have a presentation about Washington seminar. Denise informs me later today. So she'll get into a lot of this. We want to make sure that websites and software applications are accessible. And we have an act we're working on to make that happen too. What's that one? Denise? I caught her. HR 5813 and S 2984. Huh. I didn't know that was, yeah. Okay. So I think these are just critical pieces of legislation. Hi.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Hi.
But this is Benny Soriano.
Hi, Benny.
He brought you something.
Oh, Benny. Aw, thank you. Thank you very much. You're very nice, Benny. Aw. All right, I'm done here. Aw. Now, see, this is the mark of a great affiliate right here. Aw, you're going to make... No. Yeah. Yeah. They were only 22nd in pack, but they brought me an iced tea. Oh. We're now you guys, come on. The Blind Americans Return to Work Act. Yeah, Return to Work Act. And that's going to reform Social Security so that there won't be a cliff and you'll be able to make some money without, boom, being dropped off the cliff. So we've got some great legislation that will change people's lives. And there will be a Washington seminar. As I say, Denise has a, Denise, and who's presenting with you? What's that? Dust? Okay, cool. Oh, yeah, he knows what's going on. So cool. Now we got to do a lot of membership and community building. We talked about it a lot yesterday, and this is really in some ways the key to our movement. And we host these quarterly introduction to the organized blind movement calls. You can find information about that from the president and their teleconferences. Let's see, someone in this room co-chairs our national membership committee. I don't know who that is. I don't know. Well, no, who's that? Oh, you guys are a tough crowd. Tough crowd. So, building the organization, that's why President Riccobono often says, let's go build the National Federation of the Blind. Five of us can't do this, right? 10 of us can't do it. 50 of us can't do it. We need thousands, and we need thousands across the state of Illinois. And the work you're doing here is critical. And so there's a lot of information, a lot of the tools about how you can build the National Federation of the Blind local chapters and build the affiliate. And we're doing that here this weekend with the philosophy discussions. It is our philosophy that draws people to us. It's the work we do on legislation. It's the work we do for employment and education and anti-discrimination, civil rights work. We need to make sure we get that work, that word out to blind and low vision people and those professionals who work with us and for us and sometimes against us. But we need to get that word out, and we do that through membership building. And this committee has these quarterly calls. And if you have a prospective member or a member who's just joined, be sure that they know about these membership calls, and then work with your chapter board and affiliate leaders. Local chapters are the strengthening glue of the organization, and that's how we have to bring new people into the movement so that we can get the work done. I personally think that membership development is one of the most important things that we do. Fundraising is important, and civil rights work is important, but there's nothing better, in my view, than to go off to a city, take two or three people, spend 3 or 4 days, identify a leader or two before you go, if you can. But I've built chapters just showing up in, you know, Jefferson City, Missouri, or Davenport, Iowa, or Lubbock, Texas, and go to the American Legion and the VFW and the Lions clubs and the libraries and the schools and take some literature around, get some radio interviews, and build the National Federation of the Blind. By the way, if what's the best way to get blind people or any people to come to a meeting? Food. Thank you very much. Thank you for playing. Feed them and they will come, is what I always say. And so build the National Federation of the Blind, and there's so much membership information there on our website, nfb.org. Also, be sure to use the prospective new member template that we have on the website, and, you know, learn the pledge and our messaging. That's so important. And also great chapter activities. A lot of people spend some time at a chapter meeting doing this or that philosophy, talking about candy sales or whatever, but talk a little about the message of the Federation, just like we've been doing here last night and this morning, so that when we meet blind people out on the street or on the train, we can talk about who we are and what we do and why they should be involved with us. Also, be sure to update your own chapter membership lists. You know, we've recently launched the membership management module. We're so professional now, aren't we? We used to say, sign them up. Now we have a professional membership management module within the NFB on the website. So that has training videos. It has all kinds of material. I would commend it to you. A lot of chapters get a little loosey-goosey, and they've got 50 members we didn't even know about. So be sure to get everyone signed up. And how many people have their coin? Of your membership? Okay, great. That's great. Now, you know, President Riccobono and I, we have this game. Some of us, not just President Riccobono, but a bunch of us. Scott Labar used to play this game, and you'd walk up to a federation. You said, you have your membership coin. It's an old military challenge game, right? And if they don't have their coin, they owe you a beverage. But if they do have their coin, you owe them a beverage. So please don't do that to me today. Because I don't think I have my coin. I was just thinking, as I was saying that, I was patting my pocket going, uh-oh, I don't think I have my cane. You know, another great way to build the Federation, and some people say, well, what do we do as a chapter activity? What kind of activities can we do? There's all kinds of things, but one cool activity is to help distribute our radio and TV public service announcements. They've been sent to all the TV and radio outlets in the country, one way or another. However, personally delivering or going to a radio or TV station and saying, you can go to nfb.org and download these spots and run them. What a great chapter activity to get the word out in your community. So I would challenge you, maybe get a couple of folks who want to lead that effort in your chapters, who love radio, love broadcasting, maybe love the outreach work, which is a great thing we've done in Colorado. And we always find a couple of blind folks who, I'll do that, you know. And so it's one of the activities as you look for chapter activities that I think is really cool to do. Let's see, what else do I want to make sure I talk about before the president cuts me off here? Because I'm only like 4 pages into this 57-page document. Yeah. Let's see. I do want to talk about some of the advocacy we're doing. Do you have a parents' rights legislation here in Illinois?
Yeah.
Yay! When did you pass that? Do you know? Whoa, yep. I think you guys beat Colorado. I think we were in 2018. Well, you know, Scott Labar, he's a little slow on the uptake there, so he didn't get. So this is great, and congratulations. Thank you for doing that. Boy, you talk about something that changes lives. When Debbie and I had, some of you know Debbie, who is my ex-wife, an active member of this outfit, and we had little Megan Beth, eight weeks old. And we had a neighbor who was very concerned about our ability to raise our eight-week-old. And if anybody could raise a child, Debbie, the mother of the year, I think. But there was a complaint filed. It didn't go anywhere, fortunately for us. But sometimes those complaints go somewhere. And again, being able to have that legislation that you guys worked on diligently and got passed, many states have it now. And so thank you for getting that done. We have self-advocacy toolkits, both for employment, education, technology. So these are sort of sample sets of tools that you can use. I urge you, before reaching for the lawyer or the advocate, you can take a look at some of these toolkits that have materials about how you can use the system to your advantage, how you can self-advocate. And we're happy to have produced those. And they come from our, the money comes from our PAC and other programs. So we hope you'll use those toolkits, and you can find information where? On our website, with everything else. We also have template letters that people can use. Let's say you're having trouble with the school system and you need to send a document. You don't have to make it up. You can look at some of the letters that we have already drafted that you can use as a template. We're always working on legal issues. We have several victories over the past year. We always do. One of the things that we like to say about the law, however, is be careful. You don't want to run off half crazy because you think you have a lawsuit, or some lawyer comes to you and says, hey, we ought to sue the education department, or we ought to sue Starbucks or whatever, because we need to have a strategy where we pick the right cases. And there are some lawyers, I don't know if you believe this, but there are some lawyers who don't always have our best interest in mind. That might surprise you, but they're not all like Patty Chang over there. Some of them are not, so we want you to go, and if you're going to file a lawsuit, contact our legal folks. If you feel like you've been discriminated against in a very vivid and profound way, don't just go off by yourself. Talk to your affiliate president over here, or talk to President Riccobono or our legal team. We even have a legal form now. There's forms for everything, y'all. You can go to our website and you can fill out a form, and that will kind of tell our folks whether or not we have a case. We don't ever want to set a bad precedent. And frankly, part of the reasons there's been some pushback on some of the ADA stuff is some of these bad lawyers, and they show up and they try to drive-by lawsuits, they call them. It's one of the term for them. And they get people to sue about every little thing because the lawyers and the whoever's suing wants to make a lot of money. We're not in it for the money, although we do like to compensate our lawyers, and we like to make sure we get our just desserts. But that's not what we're in it for. We're in it to change the world for blind people. So you've got a legal contact us form. And it's really good. I've already sent a couple of people to it who said, I really think that I have a case. And I say, I don't know, go to the legal contact us form. And it works, I think works really well. I wanna make sure I get to some of our other programs before the president says goodbye and good luck and good riddance and go drink your Starbucks. And let's see. Okay, so we're looking for folks who have had some issues working with Amazon. If you have been discriminated against by Amazon, the fulfillment centers, we've had some victories there. But if you have a challenge with Amazon in terms of getting a job or keeping a job or being mistreated in any way, we want to hear from you, because we're working on some legal kinds of advocacy, if you will, with Amazon. We've had some wonderful settlements. You know, we had a big settlement after 7 years with the support of the NFB with the Los Angeles Community College folks. They thought they didn't. Yeah, absolutely. Big one for students. Students in the room. How many students we have here? Woo, 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 woo. All right. Yeah, students. And some of you can sing, I noticed last night. So we won. That was a 7-year battle. In the NFB, we say, you know, we may not win each battle, but we will win the war. And the reason we'll win the war is we won't stop until the war is over. That's just the way, you know, it's the way we do business. So we continue to look for legal cases that impact the lives of blind people. I'm looking at some notes here, folks. I'm not going to read that. That's a personal note to my girlfriend. We've had victories for blind voters, a big victory for blind voters in Texas just recently, where blind people were not provided accessible voting by mail or by machine. And so in Bexar County, Texas, which I think is San Antonio area, Bexar County, right? Yeah. So we continue to take these cases. They're important. I want to skip to some of our programs. You guys do a Bell program, right? Yeah. See, I knew that. That's why. Two. Well, let me just say two is better than one. I know that's. So how many students, do you guys know how many students you served at your Bell? How many? 30, someone said. Wow.
We had 5 in our Chicago program, okay. 3 in our Springfield program.
That's amazing. But,
2 in home. Two
at the, see, I love the at-home edition, too, because... Bell? I heard a bell. Oh, the bell, yes. Pay attention, Kevin. Yeah, thank you, Pam. So it's the Bell program. I think it's been going now 12, 14, 15 years, maybe. What an innovative program. Nobody... But the National Federation of the Blind could say, we're going to grab a bunch of these kiddos from 5 and 6 to 12 and 13 years old and make it a summer camp experience with Braille at its heart. All these experiential activities, from making peanut butter sandwiches and pizza to teaching these kids that Braille under the fingers is independence. And I just think we do that in an amazing way. And of course, people thought, well, with this pandemic, we won't be able to do the stuff we used to do. But in fact, we made it even better. And some of the things we learned to do in the pandemic, we've continued to do. For example, the Bell at Home edition. So I love it. I'm glad you guys are doing it. Keep it up. Maybe we can do one in Quincy or Peoria or somewhere out there. I'm just going through because I want to make sure I catch some of the things. I do want to talk a little about the PAC program. Because Scott Labar would be very irritated. As you know, Scott Labar, my brother, Scotty. And I wake up, there's not a day that goes by in my life that I don't think about Scott Labar. And many of you didn't get a chance to know him, but he was a true giant, a civil rights leader, and was the chair of our PAC program for a long time. So the PAC program is our pre-authorized contribution program. And what it does is allow you to use a credit card or a bank account and sign up. And each month, if I could keep your attention, and each month you can make a contribution. It just comes right out of your account, $5, 10, 20, 30, 50. I think Patty's at, you know, 20,000 or some crazy number. I don't know. Well, some of us get a little carried away and we get those numbers pretty high. And then the wife calls. My wife used to say, Kevin, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I thought you were blind at heart, baby. So get on the PAC plan. I'm gonna tell you, you guys are doing pretty well. I was teasing you about it, but the Illinois affiliate is doing pretty well. You guys are 22nd, and who's ahead of you? Oh, you guys have to beat North Carolina. Come on now. So I urge you, I don't know if you guys do in this at our convention here, if we do a sort of a time where we ask for PAC contributions, but I would just say that right now Illinois is generating $4,820 with your PAC. There are 16 members giving an average of $35 a month. So maybe we can get that up to 40 people giving or 45 people giving. I think PAC is one of the most important things that we do in terms of funding the movement. And the reason I think that, and it's not about what I think, but it's us giving to ourselves. We're not asking for other folks to give, corporate, other. It shows that, and when we raise close to $500,000 a year on the PAC contribution. We don't always get to that $500,000, but that's kind of what we strive for, and we've made that. So get on the PAC plan, sign up today, make those contributions right away. I just came up with that. I don't know for those of you. Is it good, right? It's kind of catchy, don't you think? So all our battles can, wow. You guys want to sing it? All right. Get on the PAC plan, sign up today.
We need your contributions right away.
Funding the movement
must be done
so all our battles can be won. Yay! Good job. Now, every one of you who's singing, get on the PAC plan, right? If you can sing it, you can do it. And you can get on for $5. There are so many other ways to give. I tell you, the one that I enjoy is the Dreammaker Circle. Some of us have the dollars to do that, and it doesn't take as much money as you think, but it's a way to say, I'm going to leave a legacy to the National Federation of the Blind. I'm going to say that when I pass away, my finances will be in such a state that I might have an insurance policy, or I might have enough to leave to an organization. You know, we have a high unemployment rate, as you know, very high, and there are a lot of members who can't do this. But if you talk to Patty Chang over here, she knows a little something about it. I think she's learning. I think she's getting better. But if you want to talk to Patty, if it comes to planned giving or the Dreammaker Circle, that's the woman who knows this stuff. And it took me a while to realize that even I had enough resources to be on the Dreammaker Circle. You don't have to be rich to be in the Dreammaker Circle. You'd be surprised. And also, even if you can't do it, you might have an uncle, a rich uncle farmer down there by Jacksonville who can do it. So I urge you to talk to Patty. She loves to talk about the museum, and she loves to talk about the Dreammaker Circle. Let me stop and ask questions. I only got to really 70% of what we're doing. What we do is vital, and it takes you and me to do it. No one else can do it. We are the blind, speaking for ourselves, acting for ourselves. And this convention is an example of that. And let me see if anybody has any quick question for me. Randall. Hi, Randall.
Can we get Kathy or Mike?
We'll have to get Randall a mic. Yeah, we can do that.
Dustin's coming with a mic, Kathy.
And then I'm going to wrap up. Because I want to hear. I always find that I learn a lot more at these conventions than I impart. For example, yes, just a second, Kathy.
May I make a plug tonight?
Yeah, go ahead.
I get this wonderful opportunity, thanks to Dr. Jernigan for inventing this. I get to stand up at the podium and beat on the podium and beg you people to please, it's time for 15 for funds,
yeah.
For the Illinois affiliate. Yes.
I remember that, Kathy.
Oh, we do it here every year.
Yeah, I remember,
Kevin.
Last year. I was trying to get out of the room without doing it, and you tripped me with your cane.
Well, good.
People talk about what canes are used for, tripping people who refuse to make contributions.
Straight cane, folding cane, whatever cane,
yeah,
get him.
Yeah, thank you.
15 tonight,
okay,
everybody.
We'll do it tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Let me wrap up by saying, and this is absolutely true, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I always learn more. It's not fair in many ways, because I always learn more from you, I think, than I impart as a national rep. I'm very blessed and honored to do this. I have fun with it. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. But I have fun pretty much everywhere I go. But I learned yesterday, you guys had a resolution, our affiliate here, we had a resolution about sporting events and audio delays. And I'm going to take that back to Colorado because we're having the same issue. Of course, I'm not going to say it came from Illinois. I'm going to say I wrote it. Of course, I'll say it came from Illinois. Of course, I will. You guys, thank you very much for your time this morning. We will speak tonight, and we'll hope that we can inspire each other and motivate each other tonight. I love you. You are my brothers and my sisters. Thank you for the time. And now I got a Starbucks.
And he said he wasn't going to use the whole amount of time on the agenda. Yeah, I think that deserves a door prize. And, you know, I'll take my name out this go around because I know when Kevin reports back to President Riccobono, his first sentence is going to be, Illinois was great.
Yeah, baby.
Door prize.
Madam President, can I just say, not only was it an iced tea, it is the exact iced tea that I wanted.
And then you can put that in, Illinoisans, listen. So the next item on the agenda, so you heard about this morning during philosophy and last night, and you saw our students put on a great fundraising event, IAPS Idol. And as you've heard, we believe in our students and raising expectations. So our next presentation is how does the National Federation of the Blind raise expectation for students? And it is with Joshua Alakani, who is president of the Minnesota Association of Blind Students. And he is also a board member of the National Association of Blind Students, and our own Sarah Luna, who is second vice president of the National Association of Blind Students and vice president of the Illinois Association of Blind Students. Say all that really fast. All right, young people, I turn it over to you.
Sounds good, thank you so much. I'll go ahead and introduce myself real quick. Marilyn did an amazing job, but my name is Joshua Olakani. I'm from Lawrenceville, Georgia. I go to the school at the University of Minnesota, and I major in human resource development. Human resource development.
And I think y'all know me a bit.
So,
I mean, some of you have known me since I was 15. But I was most recently a student at Blind Incorporated last year. And I'm planning on pursuing a professional certificate in museum studies from Northwestern University, hopefully beginning in December. So the structure of our presentation today is that we have some questions. We're going to go back and forth, y'all. And then at the end, y'all are going to have the opportunity to ask us some questions as well. So to get started, Josh, I want to know what program or project in the Federation has had a significant impact on you?
Yeah, so I would say being the co-chair of the Midwest Planning Committee was very impactful in a number of ways. One of them being receiving feedback. Guys, when I tell you I didn't understand how much feedback it hurt at times, you know, I truly mean that. You know, it wasn't in the way it was delivered, it was just the way that it was received, you know. Personally, I felt like I was doing everything like really, really well. And then when you hear feedback, constructive feedback, you know, you need to be able to take that and adapt to it. So that honestly is a point that I think about a lot. How about yourself, Sarah?
So, you know, we co-chaired that committee together, which is a great time. But the program I'm going to talk about is actually the program that introduced me to the Federation. It was our Freedom Link program here in Illinois. And so, yeah, I started in that program when I was 15. And, you know, it was a program for middle and high school students where we got to meet with mentors from the Federation on a monthly basis. And we had various excursions where we got to work on things like orientation and mobility and career prep skills. And that was the first time when I met blind adults who were just living the lives they wanted, who had careers they were passionate about, who were traveling all across the country doing really awesome things for the Federation. And that was really the first time, like I was fortunate in that my parents like told me that I could pursue whatever career path I wanted, but like I didn't know what that looked like. And to get to engage with blind adults living their best lives on a monthly basis, like that was so powerful for me at a young age.
Yeah, so my question to you is, who's a mentor that you have in the NFB that you feel like has impacted you the most and why?
So I've been, like many people in the Federation, I've been very fortunate to have a number of mentors in the Federation. And one of my mentors was our previous NABS president, Trisha Kulkarni. And having her as a resource was so valuable for me, especially like in the Midwest planning process, because there'd be so many times, because I was learning on the job. And so there'd be so many times where I would go to her and be like, Trisha, I don't know what to do here. Like, how am I supposed to structure this email? How do I like structure an agenda? I haven't done this before. But I'd say the most impactful thing she taught me is that she was very often willing to open up and to share with our members that, you know, she struggled in school as well. And, you know, she had her challenges and she'd been there. And like, that was just so powerful to me to like underscore that, you know, our leaders, like they also had challenges and they're not perfect either. And so like that just, I think it made me like more proud to be a member and to want to pursue leadership to make sure that future students would feel like they had a place where they could be understood and heard and valued. And how about yourself?
Yeah, so I would say where I see the peak of like my mentorship thus far, obviously it's going to be continuous mentorship as I grow in the Federation. But this prior national convention, I honestly was feeling kind of down at certain parts of it, because I feel like sometimes there's this unintended consequence of being in the Federation where like you see people doing so many great things and you're like, man, like, what am I doing? Like, I'm just here. So that mindset started to perpetuate itself in my head. And, you know, I start to envy people. I'm like, man, okay, like, how can I like become like this person, or how can I like become better so that like I'm on a higher playing field in general? And so I reached out to Roland Allen, you know, because he's another person of color. And I don't know, at the time, this is a very negative mindset, guys, but I'm like, he's a husband of a giant, you know, in the Federation. So he must feel envy. Yeah, like it has to happen. So like I wanted to reach out to him and see like what his mindset was on like how to handle it. So I reached out to him at National Convention. He was like, yeah, like just come sit next to me during general sessions at some point. I'm like, oh, okay, sounds good. So I come sit next to him. I'm like, hey, like, how's it going, Roland? He's like, oh, it's going good. Can I see your cane real quick? For those who don't know, he's a cane travel instructor at LCB, right? So that was the first thing he asked me. No, how's it going? Like, hey, it's been a while. Can I see your cane? And he's like, oh, like your cane tip's a little loose. And I was like, oh, no, but, and then he started talking me through like how like you have to become comfortable in your own skin and how it's like very important to figure out what you're good at and like not comparing yourself to others, because that's the death of all happiness. And that really stuck with me. And I think about that all the time when I like am in these spaces where there are people doing amazing things. And like, I have to tell myself that, so I'm not comparing myself. And, you know, I still reach out to him, still talk to him. So I very much appreciated that moment. And I feel like that would be something that sticks with me for a long time.
I love that. So 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 we are both graduates of Blindness Learning and New Dimensions Incorporated. And so I wanted to know, what led you to decide to go to training?
Yeah, so honestly, I was down in Georgia, very warm place, unlike Minnesota. But, and, you know, people kept telling me about this, these training centers. I'm like, man, I don't, this is when I was going through that mindset of like, I have to stay on path with everyone else. You know, I want to go to college at the same time as everyone else. I want to graduate at the same point as everyone else. And my mentor is down in Georgia. I call her my NFE mom, Jackie Anderson. She kept telling me, boy, you are blind. You need to go to training. And I was like, man, not me, not I. You're not talking to me. But so eventually after like, you know, falling victim to taking tests for like 3-4 hours when my classmates are taking tests for 1 hour, and like, you know, just the lack of efficiency in Braille, lack of efficiency with traveling, the lack of efficiency with honestly everything, I was like, okay, I might need to go to training. Maybe. So then I ended up deciding to go to CCB for a summer to just kind of get like an understanding of what training was. And Jackie Anderson, she went to CCB, so I want to fill that out. I had an amazing time. I learned a lot. And then people kept talking to me about blinding and how they're like communication. They call it communications at blinding, but it's essentially just Braille and JAWS class combined. And people kept telling me about how their program was amazing. And like JAWS was the main thing that I wanted to like really focus on, because I knew going into college, like there is no taking tests for 4 or 5 hours. Like that's just not plausible. So I was like, okay, like let me do this blinding thing. And then one of my student division presidents at the time for GABS, he was like, oh, like by the way, like you know the University of Minnesota has a tuition waiver for blind people. I'm like, come again? So at this point, you know, I'm a broke high school student, you know, so like I was like, there's no way I'll be able to pay for college and you know, make it out of it debt free. So you know, why not go to Blind Inc. and then while I'm at it, apply to the University of Minnesota, see if I get in, get this tuition waiver, and live my best life. And that's how I got here. So how about you, Sarah?
So I did my time at training a little bit unconventionally in that I attended a Blind Incorporated for a summer in 2019 when I was still in college, because at the time I didn't want to take a semester off to do the full 6 to 9 month program. So I did a summer at Blind Incorporated in 2019. And then I went back last year to finish up the program. And the motivating factor the first time around was that I had an hour commute to my campus, and I finagled it to have all of my classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And the challenge was when I had a presentation in every single class on one day. And because I didn't have the Braille skills to just read off what I needed to say, I had to memorize everything on my commute for the first presentation, memorize everything during lunch for the second one, and memorize everything during dinner for my night class. And that was exhausting. And I deeply resented my peers for being able to just read off what they were going to say and to not have to spend all of this mental energy memorizing. And so that was my wake up call that I wanted to go to training to really recommit myself to improving in Braille. And so that was my focus that summer. Also, I didn't know how to turn on a stove at the time. I figured I should work on that. So yes, I very much increased my confidence in Braille that summer and learned the basics in cooking, went on to finish off my degree in 2021. And when I finished college, I just didn't feel ready to get a job. I found that I lacked confidence in cooking and in things like, you know, building a resume and applying for jobs. And I felt like I wanted to learn JAWS because I'm a Mac person at heart. So I Decided to go back to training because I wanted to increase my confidence with things like cooking, and you know, could always use more refinement with travel. But I was really impressed with the careers program at Blinding to really like focus in on like helping people get prepared to like enter the workforce in like the strongest way possible. So I'd say those are my priorities.
Gotcha. The next thing I want to touch on that we've already spoken on a little bit, but in what ways has training impacted you, Sarah?
So I would say, of course, there are the traditional things like the self-confidence to be able to know that I can tackle any challenge, the problem-solving skills. It's very entertaining for me to watch my family members get lost now and to see how they figure their way out of it. And I'm just like, oh, you just gotta, like, the thing I would always tell myself is like, when I would get lost in training, I was like, well, everyone gets lost in training. It doesn't matter if you can see or not. And when I'd make a mistake in the kitchen, it'd be like, well, like everyone burns things in the kitchen, it's fine. And I can be a perfectionist at times. And I'd say one of the valuable things I learned is that it's okay to fail. Especially if you can take what you learned in things not turning out how you wanted them to. So you can apply them later. But when I went back to Blind Incorporated last year, like I was a Federation member. I'd been a Federation member for a number of years. I knew our I had been around, and I knew like live the life you want. I could talk the talk essentially, but during training that's when I felt like I could finally like walk the walk. That like I truly like internalized that I could really do anything, and that you know the fine people like we do not have limitations, and we can accomplish whatever we want. And like that's when I've really truly internalized the Federation philosophy, I would say. So how about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's impacted me in a number of ways. Some of them being confidence. I would say in high school, I was very much the type of person that was like a little bit more quieter. But I was quieter and like more meek because I didn't have confidence. Like I wouldn't use my cane just to walk around without a cane. Didn't have any blindness skills, so I'd be like high partial hunching into my screen to like be able to read. And like it was honestly embarrassing. You know, large print, you know, all that. Like I just felt like there was a way to do it more effectively and like more with more confidence. So going to Blind Inc, having the seminar component where they talk to you about the philosophy of the Federation in general, and having the communications aspect where they're teaching you JAWS and Braille, really like bolstered me up and gave me the ability to do homework assignments in college and read like large amounts of pages at one time efficiently. And you know, being able to just travel confidently. And my brother always used to say like that, like I've lived in Georgia for 18 years at that point, and I couldn't get around without him, because it was true. We literally get out the car somewhere I've been like 50 times, and he's like, yo, where are we? And I'm like, bro, good question. Where are we? So, you know, being able to get that like orientation and mobility from Blind Inc also really helped. So, I would say that was it for me.
So we could be sitting here like asking each other more questions, but we're curious. Does anyone in the audience have a question for us? Is our mic runner ready? Sweet. Okay, so we're gonna go with Debbie Pittman, and who's two of the Charlie, and then Pittman,
and then Jamal.
My apologies. Sorry, with Pittman, Charlie, then Jamal.
Justine, do you have a mic? Okay.
Sweet. No, we cannot
can't
hear
you.
Push the button. Underneath. It must be underneath.
That must be the one that has it. Yeah, underneath. Is that the one that has the button underneath? Check underneath the bottom of the mic and see if there's a button that you can push in.
Maybe. Hello.
There we go.
I don't know. So, Sarah, this mm-hmm. is a question for you.
Okay.
Did you get your plumber's license yet?
So for context, at Blind Incorporated, one of in our industrial arts class, we have a home maintenance component, and I learned how to like take apart a doorknob and install it, and I had to disassemble and reassemble a toilet 3 times. So it was a great time. Yes, I can turn it. Yes, I can turn on a stove, Kevin. I think it was Charlie was next. Yeah. Mike Runner's getting their steps in, y'all.
Iris, go in.
Oh my God, where's Charlie?
Over here.
Over here?
Okay. Over here.
Over.
Following the voice.
Hello.
There you go.
Thank you. My question has to do with accessibility in school. One of the biggest problems that I'm going through is being able to get materials in an open PDF format. A lot of schools will have various formats like EPUB, PDF, locked PDF, things like that, that will not play nicely, so to speak, with JAWS and Fusion. Do you have any workarounds for those?
Yeah, so I'll take this one. I would say get with your Disability Resource Center and like see what options that they have available. I can speak for the University of Minnesota because that's what I attend, but we have a document conversion center, and if you get the information to them well in advance, they can convert it to what works for you. And I mean, another like way around this, I know this might sound outdated to some people, but getting someone to just read you the content, like at the University of Minnesota, there are like these people called access assistants that work for the Disability Resource Center. And if you're unable, like if something's inaccessible, you can get them to like help you with it. So that's another way around it. I don't know necessarily what you have at your university, but something to look into.
I believe Jamal was next.
Yes, question for both Joshua and Sarah. How did the NFB find you?
So yeah, as I mentioned, I was introduced to the Federation through Freedom Link. And I was in that program for about, I want to say 2 years. I actually attended my first state convention because of Freedom Link in 2014 in this very hotel. Funny how things work. But yeah, after I aged out of the Freedom Link program, I started volunteering for Bell on my 18th birthday. It was my very first day volunteering for Bell. So I've done that for 8 summers now. But after a few years of doing Bell, I got asked, Debbie called me up and asked if I'd wanted to come back as a mentor in Freedom Link. And then I agreed and slowly started coming to chapter meetings and conventions and seminars. And now y'all are stuck with me.
Yeah. And for me, it basically started with Jackie Anderson, my NFE mom, the person I mentioned earlier. Essentially down in Georgia, the Bell program needed some students that were like a little bit older than the Bell age, but like, you know, young enough to like be able to relate with the kids to like help out with the program. So she invited myself and my brother out to be those people. And she started like, you know, spouting all this like philosophy and this like NFB dogma, and I was like, man, what, like, what is this lady talking about? Like, blind people can't live the lives they want. And she kept like, you know, pushing against that mindset, and I'm very grateful that she did, because she like was able to get me to where I'm at now, and she was able to like fund me to go to national convention, fund me to get me to state convention, and like just help with those different pieces that kind of led to me wanting to stick around and wanting to give back to the group that has helped me so much.
Any more questions?
My name is Reed.
I do.
Say your name.
Dylan.
Dylan. Okay. We get the mic.
Cool. He's on the other side.
Oh, Dylan.
Yeah. Hi. So my name is Dilip, and I am a blind man with a professional career. And I used to live in Pennsylvania, and I used to mentor high school and college students. And now that I'm in Illinois, I like to find out how I can do the same. What are the opportunities? Obviously, you know, there are opportunities to do that. And I would like to volunteer my time and skills to do that.
Oh. So thank you so much for wanting to volunteer your time to mentor, you know, the next generation of blind students. We very much appreciate it. So currently we do not have the Freedom Link program at the moment. We retired the program about last year, but we are currently developing a new program. It's in the works, so we can work to reach high school age students. Yes, I was getting there. But yes, we have consistently had the Bell Academy since 2013. So I would encourage you to get involved. I believe Debbie tends to ask for mentors around like April, the May area. So I would definitely encourage you to be a mentor in that capacity while we work on developing the new program for middle and high school age students.
Yeah.
I have that, Dilip. We can talk afterwards.
Yeah. All right.
This is Marilyn.
My bad.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Another way that comes to mind is just kind of showing up to National Association of Blind Students events and seminars and networking events at conventions. We have a lot of students that honestly like would love to talk to you and like love to learn from you, but like, you know, if they don't know who you are, it kind of makes it hard to bridge that gap. So just showing up, and then this is a plug for Tad. I don't know if Dustin's in the room, but Catherine Webster is running a program called Tad that does exactly what you're talking about, where like connecting blind mentors with blind students or people trying to aspire to get into a business professional. So if you can get in contact with Dustin Caffer, I'm sure he would be able to put you in contact with her.
Chang.
Go ahead.
We have a spring seminar coming up in March that will have students from all over the Midwest. Dilip, I would suggest that you really plug into that.
Yeah.
Because those will be high school and college students from all over.
Midwest 2024. A final question?
Reed has a question.
Rita?
Reed?
Hi,
my name is Reed.
Yes, Reed.
And I'm a sighted teacher in Chicago Public Schools. And
yeah.
Love it. I'm a fairly new teacher. Could you give me some advice? What is really impactful, or what has been, or what you wish you would have gotten from a high school teacher?
Yeah, so I'll get that question first. I feel like, honestly, just listening. Like, I feel like oftentimes people like to generalize and be like, oh, like I've had a blind student before and they did things this way, or like they like would have never had a blind student before and they'll be like, okay, like, do you need like Braille? And they kind of assume that that's like the medium in which they like consume information. So like I would say just be like inquisitive, like ask questions.
Jamie K. Ritchie is the co-host now.
Kind of adapting to kind of suit that student's needs, because at the end of the day, we're all blind, yes, but like, you know, everyone has different needs and what they utilize to be successful.
I would concur. Like, it's okay to admit that, like, you may not know the best strategy to help them in the moment, but it's like the willingness to be able to, like, work through those challenges and to find a solution that works, I think is super important. And to, like, provide assistance with, like, the balance of, like, you're still holding them to the same standards as, like, their peers, because I feel like college was the first place where I felt like I was being held to the same standards as my peers. And so when I started to excel in that environment, like, that was very gratifying, because I did face low expectations for the majority of my scholastic career. So I think that's a very valuable thing to keep in mind as well.
Chang.
Yes.
There was a teacher here at one time who brought her students to my courtroom. And I think giving your students exposure to competent blind adults is one of the biggest things you can do. She did it every year, and the students had all kinds of questions, but I think what they got most out of it was to see a blind person who was in charge of an environment. And that's something I didn't see until I was in my 20s. So I didn't even know it was possible.
Yeah. Well, I believe that is all the time we have. So thank all of you for your questions and for listening to us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
We have a door prize here. We have a door prize.
Yes, door Mr. Prize. National Rep.
Madam President, Worley with a comment.
Yes, Mr. National Rep.
As an old guy.
Did you enjoy that tea?
I did. Oh my gosh. It was absolutely great. Thank you very much. Benny, right? Is it Benny?
I can arrange to get you another one.
Tell me the name of the young.
Benny Soriano.
Thank you, Benny. And thank you, Mom. I assume Mom. That was very sweet. Well, actually, what I wanted to say was, and Benny, you're going to help make this happen too. I listened to this presentation and I think you'll all agree with me. Our future in the National Federation of the Blind is secure.
Yes. Thank you, Josh and Sarah, for that great presentation about how the National Federation of the Blind raises expectations for students. And Reed, definitely, we welcome you and your students into all of our spaces. Like Patty said, it's definitely an opportunity to see confident blind people living the lives we want and having those opportunities. So definitely stay around. We're here to answer any and all questions that you and your colleagues might have throughout this weekend. How many new people are in the room? How many people are here at their first state convention?
I am.
All right. All right. Yep. All right. Thank you. So our next presentation, if we could get Debbie Stein a mic, she's going to talk about, so we're segueing to national and state scholarships. So we just talked about how we raise expectations, and isn't our scholarship one of the scholarship programs one of the ways that we raise expectations?
Yeah.
If you want to come over here, I think there's one by me.
There's one on the podium too, Debbie. I lost my cane, by the way.
You lost your cane?
I'm helping a minute. It's in your pocket, man.
It's not your best.
I got it. It's from the podium.
Hi there. Oh, this one works. Okay. The National Federation of the Blind, on the national level and on the state level, one of the things that we hold very hold dear and value very highly is developing our young people, as you have heard. And one of the ways that we do that is by providing academic scholarships to students who are in post-secondary programs studying an enormous range of things. That can be entering college freshmen all the way up through graduate students. They might be students in two-year colleges working on their associate's degree. They might be in four-year programs. So in Illinois, we have for many, many years had a program where we provide scholarships to people who are resident of or are studying in Illinois. So sometimes we have somebody from out of state who is studying here, or maybe a student from Illinois who's going to study in another state, but for the most part, people who are studying here. And we have two National Federation of the Blind of Illinois scholarship finalists here with us this year. They will be introducing themselves later at our student lunch, but their names are John Holtgreave and Charlie, I'm drawing a blank on your last name. Speak up. Charlie Miller. Okay, they're both here with us, and we are going to hear more from them later on. We also have our national program this year. Every year, the National Federation of the Blind gives 30 academic scholarships to students from all over the United States and Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. And they are valued at $8,000. I forgot to mention that our state scholarship is valued at $5,000. So it's non-trivial. With the cost of going to college these days, it is a help. It's, you know, certainly one, it's not the only funding source you're going to need, but it is certainly a help. And it's straight out money that is given to the student for them to use it in whatever way they feel will most benefit them. So it could go for technology or towards tuition or whatever. Reader services, you know, we really think getting human readers is a valuable thing. Patty Chang, do you want to add anything to about our state? Because Patty and I are co-chairs of the state scholarship program.
I guess the only thing that I would add is a reminder that you do need to be 18 by the time convention comes to qualify.
Right.
That's a new thing.
Because it is a requirement that you attend the entire state convention if you're winning a state scholarship, or the entire national convention if you are a national scholarship winner, and your expenses, including your travel expenses to national convention, are covered as part of your scholarship. So we hope to hear from many students, and Reed, I hope you will recommend to your students that they apply for NFB scholarships, and help us spread the word. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie Stein, for talking about our national scholarship program. Josh Alakani, have you made your way up to the front?
I have.
All right, great. So now you heard from Mr. Alakani earlier about how the National Federation of the Blind raises expectations for students. Now you're going to hear from him about the National Association of Blind Students, their report. Thank you, Josh. I think we all know him, so I won't introduce him again.
Thank you so much. I want to get started by saying, again, my name is Joshua Alakani. Thank you guys so much for having me. I want to say it's been an amazing time being here so far, so I really appreciate you guys' hospitality. But I'm going to jump right into your report. So the National Association of Blind Students, what is that? The National Association of Blind Students is a large network of students across the country where we can help each other and learn how to be leaders in the Federation and outside the Federation. You might ask yourself, what do we have? Like, what can we help you with? Why should you get involved? So we have a number of committees. I want to start out by talking about the committees and then seminars at the end. So our first committee is our fundraising committee. I am the chair of that committee. You might be asking yourself, what are we doing? We are doing a lot right now. We have had fantasy football just passed. Well, it's actually going on right now, but essentially fantasy football was a fundraiser that we did. We're currently working on Beam Trivia Night to support Blind Equality Achievement Month. All of y'all are welcome to come. We meet every second Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Central. Up next is content creation. Content creation is working on a number of things, from Facebook to creating podcasts. The person who actually helps edit those podcasts, Seyoon Choi, is actually here. So shout out to Seyoon. For Blindness Equality Achievement Month, we are working on coming out with two episodes this month, where one of them is a podcast episode of our current president, Lauren Altman, talking about her journey with blindness, and then another podcast episode essentially talking about students, what are like their journey surrounding blindness in general. They meet second Sunday of every month at 7 p.m. Central. Our next committee is advocacy. Advocacy is taking a little like turn away from like the legislation and self-advocacy perspective that we had prior to convention. Advocacy, we are working on public speaking. We are working on an advocacy series where people can learn how to do better at public speaking, but also like learn how to advocate in general before it gets to a point where it's hard to like come back from. So they are working on that for Blindness Equality Achievement Month. They are helping and supporting all the other committees and launching their advocacy series in a couple weeks. So that would be nice. Our fourth committee is our membership committee. Yeah. Membership committee is co-chaired by Sarah Luna, as you can see. So they meet on every third Sunday at 7 p.m. Central. So they work on pulling in new members for Blindness Equality Achievement Month. They are working on a career fair, helping people learn how to get internships, helping people learn how to like get into the workforce, learning. So just teaching students how to become employable. So, you know, if those four committees aren't good enough of a reason for you to join NABS, let me give you another. So we have seminars that we work on actively throughout the year. We have Midwest Seminar that's hosted here in Illinois. That seminar is coming up soon, and we have our co-chair and chair, Hunter Geister and Kyle Garcia, who will be spearheading that seminar. And there are multiple opportunities to get involved, honestly. It's like outreach, agenda. There's so much that needs to get done. You can ask Marilyn Green, trust me. The more personal note that I wanted to touch on to like kind of round this out a little bit is that I feel like NABS, the National Association of Blind Students, provides an opportunity for mentorship. I touched on this a little bit earlier, but there are so many opportunities throughout being part of this organization, being part of, like, whether that's in a member capacity or in a leadership capacity, that you learn so much. I touched on a little bit of like being mentored through and being given feedback at the last Midwest seminar in which I was emceeing, you know, getting feedback and learning how to be better in general. I talked about how I was mentored through at National Convention through from Roland Allen on how to be okay being comfortable in your own skin. These are very salient aspects of being like a blind person, number one, like in a side of the world, but also in the NFB in general. So that is something that I really recommend, to find a mentor, to join NABS, and that will help bridge the gap to meeting these amazing people.
Leo Aver is the co-host now.
You grow. Like, there is growth in fundraising. There is growth in content creation. There is growth in advocacy. There's growth in membership. And there's growth, like,
in seminars and mentorship, through within all of that, there like is growth, and you can learn how to be more rooted in philosophy. Thank you.
Hi guys. Hello everyone. the next item on the agenda is a discussion of Washington seminar, and we won't be very long. I am Denise Avant. This is my co-chair, Dustin Kather, and we co-chair the federal legislation committee here in Illinois. So I will just start by letting you know that Washington Seminar for 2024 is from January 29th to February 1st. The applications, because as Ronza knows, in Illinois, you have to apply to go to Washington Seminar. So the application will be on the website, and the deadline is going to be December 1st. So if it's not on the website, it will soon be on the website. If you are interested in going to Washington Seminar and representing affiliate, then please fill out that application and have it back to Marilyn by email at president@nfbofillinois.org. Please do not change any of the formatting of the document. Make sure that it remains accessible so that the committee can consider your application. Anyone in this room in Illinois is welcome to be part of Washington Seminar. This past year, we took Michelle Alt. She's from the Chicago chapter. This was her first Washington Seminar. We took Teresa Fabre, who is the IAB student president. She had done the virtual, but this was her first in-person seminar. And we took our door prize, one of our door prize persons, well, the other one, Abu El Faki. Abu El Faki, she, as a student, she was our student representative. So she came with us as well. So it's not all veterans that go. We make it a point to bring new people if you will only apply. I will also let you know that we have plenty of work to do between now and Washington Seminar to get co-sponsors for our bills. So I'm going to turn it over to Dustin to describe the bills and the number of co-sponsors that we have.
Wonderful. Thank you, Denise. So I'm just going to give a brief overview of what we have currently on the floor and what the status of those bills in terms of how many co-sponsors we have for those pieces of legislation. So the first one that we're going to cover is the Medical Device Non-Visual Accessibility Act. And this was actually introduced by Illinois' very own Jan Schakowsky. Woo! Yeah. And in the House, that's noted as H.R. 1328, that is H.R. 1328. And there are currently five co-sponsors from Illinois. And those, we'll just give them a quick shout out. That is Representative Mike Quigley, Sean Kasten, Chuy Jesus Garcia, Danny Davis, and Raja Krishnamoorthy. And in total, the H.R. 1328 has 49 co-sponsors nationwide. Moving on, another piece of legislation that we have on the floor is the Transformation to Competitive and Integrated Employment Act. It has a Senate bill, which is noted as S.533. And as of this today, it still only has one co-sponsor in the Senate. And its companion bill in the House, which is noted as 1263, that's H.R. 1263, currently has 26 co-sponsors, and two of are from Illinois, and we recently just got a new co-sponsor from Illinois within the past couple of weeks, I believe. But people from Illinois who co-sponsored the transformation to the Competitive and Integrated Employment Act is Representative Robin Kelly and Mike Quigley. Yeah, yes. So moving on, we also have the Access Technology Affordability Act in the Senate. That's noted as S.1467. That's S.1467, and that has 8 co-sponsors in the Senate. And in the House, it's noted as H.R. 3702. That's H.R. 3702. Nationwide has 36 co-sponsors, and we recently picked up, I believe, 2 recently in the past couple of weeks. So representative from Illinois, we have co-sponsored on that bill is Representative Mike Bost, Mike Quigley, and Brad Lee Snyder. So that's awesome. And so I'm just going to mention that we do have a piece of legislation that's somewhat new introduced on the floor. It has a House and Senate bill, and it is the Website and Software Application Accessibility Act of 2023. That's known as H.R. 5813 in the House. And in the Senate, that's noted as S.2984. Both pieces of legislation currently have 2 co-sponsors apiece, both in the House and the Senate. So like Denise said, we got a lot of work to do. Usually the second half. So what? The
Senate bill was introduced by Senator Duckworth.
It was introduced by Senator Duckworth. Forgot to mention that. So give a round of applause for our great Senator, Senator Duckworth. So, you know, like Denise mentioned before, we got a lot of work to do, and you know, in January, moving into February, once you know we go back on the Capitol Hill and advocate for pieces of legislation that impact the lives of blind people, we're going to go out there and generate those co-sponsors again, like we did in the 117th, in the 118th, which is the current session of Congress right now. So really looking forward to building the delegation this year. And do you have anything else to add, Denise? All right, thank you.
All right, so our next agenda item is to talk about our, you heard a lot about how the National Federation of the Blind raises expectations for students and how we work with young kids, and our BEL program is one of those ways that we work with young kids to show them adult blind mentors and how they can start to live the lives that they want. So we have Debbie Stein, who is our Illinois BEL coordinator, as well as Bridget Hickey, who was one of our Chicago BEL co-teachers. And we have some of the BEL students in the house. All right, take it away. And then the next, just to let the Zoom people know, the next presentation will be about Blind Ink. So the Blind Ink people, you want to start getting prepared if you're not already. Thank you.
Very cool. He did promise Ben that he could talk in the microphone.
Oh, I was about to say you need a mic.
Oh, we will definitely need a microphone, right, Ben?
Right. We need a mic. Where's the mic?
Hold the mic up. I will grab it.
Mic.
Can I just grab the one up here?
I'll grab it. Yeah, the one in the mic stand.
I'll grab it for you.
Ben just said, go grab somebody.
Okay. Oh. Should we come by Debbie? We'll give this one to Debbie. Here you go, Debbie.
Okay, so I'm not going to talk very much because I want to hear from our BEL teachers and our BEL students. But BEL stands for Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning.
Woohoo!
And we in the Federation really believe that Braille is literacy for blind people. Braille is just as important for blind people as print is for sighted people. And even though we have all sorts of technology, we have things that talk to us, and we have, you know, screen readers and all of that, but it's still really important to be able to read, to know how the language is put together on the page and know how to spell and understand grammar and all of that. And reading is really an important part of growing up and being part of the world. As a writer myself, I, you know, I'm really big on reading. So, about, maybe 14, 15 years ago now, the National Federation of the Blind started this summer program to provide Braille enrichment activities for blind kids between the ages of 4 and 12. And it was started by a teacher whose name has been mentioned earlier today, Jackie Anderson from Georgia. And she started it in Maryland. She was in Maryland at the time. It has expanded across the country so that not all states have done it. At one point, I think we had about 42 states who were doing Bell programs. And in Illinois, we have two Bell programs. We have a two-week program here in Chicago, and the students meet at the Chicago Lighthouse and have activities all day for 2 weeks. They have field trips. They do some cooking. They do lots of reading and fun arts and crafts activities. And then down in Springfield, we have an unusual program where the students and families actually stay at a hotel in Springfield for a week. And at the as guests of the NFB of Illinois, we pay for their living expenses there and give everybody a meal allowance. And the students meet every day with a Bell teacher and have, you know, our regular Bell activities and go on a field trip and do fun things. So one of our Bell teachers is here with us today, Bridget Hickey.
Hello.
And so I'm going to turn the mic over to Bridget, and then she will introduce the Bell students and their families who are here and talk to you a little bit about what happened in Bell this summer. So Bridget,
what happened at Bell this summer? I want to say thank you guys so much. I became a vision teacher because of my dad who's sitting over there. Bart, say hey. Hey. My first experience of people who are blind is they are all very cool and they can fix cars because that's what I thought all blind people could do. I don't know, maybe you guys all can, but so it's very cool to have spent a summer with all the other cool blind people and all of our students getting to meet awesome elite blinds. And I know that Dustin knows that I'm just trying to create more cool blind people like Dustin. Yes, so it's very exciting to see and get to chat with all of you. But more importantly, the stars of the show are our two fave friends here, and I'll let them introduce themselves. Can I just say what your name is? You can hold the microphone.
Okay.
Okay, say hello.
Hello.
My name is
Ben.
Ben, tell us, what did you do at Bell this summer?
I went to the library.
The IAMC at Lighthouse, yeah.
Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm. And what else did we do?
Well, we went on a train.
We did go on the L. Yeah. What did we do that was very important after our trips?
We would go get ice cream.
Yeah, we would. All right.
Oh, good.
All right. Do you want to pass the microphone to Alex so he can talk about Bell?
Uh-huh.
All right. Pass it to him. So here you go, Alex.
There you go, Alex.
Sweet, dude.
My name's Alec.
What did you like about Bell this summer, Alec?
I love the Legos there.
Oh, what was special about our Legos at Bell?
They were not regular, they were Braille Legos.
What? Anything else that we do at Bell that was pretty cool that you enjoyed?
Cooking.
Ooh. Wait, no way. Blind kids can't use knives. We don't let you guys cook.
Blind kids can't use knives.
Can they?
No.
Yes?
They can. Yep.
What, do you remember cooking anything that you enjoyed cooking?
I enjoyed cooking, Pizza! Oh. Pizza!
That was a good time. Ben, did you like any of the cooking that we did?
I cooked pizza.
Ben also cooked pizza. We also made stir fry, and we would go to the grocery store ourselves, right? We had to buy all of our things. We'd have to pack our own lunches, and we would play lots of fun games.
Yes.
Who did, do you have a favorite game that we played while we were at Bell?
Snack Braille.
Oh, yeah. Tell people what Snack Braille is.
So pretty much we have like a paper sheet.
With a Braille cell?
Yeah, with the Braille cell. And then we put snacks in the circles that you Braille in. Wow. So like imagine like...
Kim Borowitz is the co-host now.
So like you made a U, you would have to put it in 1, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, you mean the letter Y? So the
Y.
Yeah. So yes, we would have a Braille cell, and then you could put a snack.
We would have a Braille cell.
Yeah, we would, Ben. And you could put snacks like we would have Cheerios or fruit snacks, maybe some M&Ms.
Maybe
what else do we have?
Cream.
No ice cream in the Braille cells, but that does sound delicious, Ben. And we would make, we would call out a letter. We let friends pick out of our big Lego box, and they would practice making their letters or the words. You're right, Ben.
Yep.
Or the words. Either one. So we got a lot of practice with Braille this summer. Did we have a good time?
Yes. And I saw, I already, when they introduced me to a like thing that scans
okay.
like money.
Oh, right.
I already knew about it.
You already knew about it. So, yeah. Alec was kind of a really good mentor for some other students. So he would teach us what he already knew, right? He taught us a very cool thing that I didn't know even as a vision teacher. We'd go on O&M trips. There's those truncated domes. He said that they were called what?
I call them stop dots.
Because when you touch them, you got to stop. Right?
Uh-huh. Or because if you touch them again, then you, that means like you're safe because you might be crossing the road and then you feel them again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you had to stop. That means you're safe.
When you cross
That's
the street.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we all learned a lot. We got to travel a lot and we had a good time.
Right? Yep. We went on the pink train, by the way.
The pink line. Yes, we would take the pink line downtown. So. If you guys want to come and hang out with us maybe next summer, we would love some more cool blind people to come show us around. I know Sarah was in here. She was an amazing mentor. She was here. She must have went to the bathroom or something.
And Ellen.
And Miss Ellen's in the back. She also helped us out this summer. So we had a good time learning from people who are also blind. Yes?
By the way, there's candies back there.
There's candies back there. There we go.
Ellen paid him to say that, just so you know.
We brought in for White Cane Day, we'll be doing a little craft in the back. We'll be brailing out some white cane bookmarks. So be sure to come and snag one while we still have them, y'all. Thank you so much. I'll say adios.
Adios!
You want to say goodbye, Ben?
Adios!
Final thing in the microphone, what do you guys say?
Goodbye.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Ben and Alex and Bridget and Debbie. Thank you so much. Can we get Kathy a mic really quick? And then we have to move on. So while we're getting Kathy a mic, there's still candy for sale. You can see Ellen in the back of the room. She paid the, she sold out. All right. So you got to go see Mary or Dave.
Thank you.
Mary's got Starburst. Dave, what you got? All right, so that means Dave is donating all of his money to what he did not sell. That's what that means. All right, $2 for one candy, $5 for three. Okay, do we have Kathy Randall with a mic?
Kathy Randall has a mic, yes. Yeah. I just want to thank again the Naperville Noon Lions Club who fund a huge part of the Chicago Bell program, everybody. We love them. We thank them so much. Thank you so much.
Yes, we do thank the Naperville Noon Lions. We gave them an award last year because they have consistently, even during COVID, they continue to donate to our Bell program because they understand how important our youth is. So we are going to move on. We have two more items on the agenda. We might run a little after 11:30, but we'll see how it goes. Our next presentation is from one of our training centers. You heard Josh and Sarah talk about training in Blind Ink, Blindness and New Dimensions out in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The NFB has three training centers. We have Louisiana Center for the Blind in Ruston, Louisiana. We have the Colorado Center. Yeah, Colorado. All right, he woke up. That tea woke him up. We have the Colorado Center for the Blind in Littleton, Colorado. Is that right?
Yep.
All right. And then, like I said, we have Blind Ink. So Jamie Ritchie, who is the interim director at Blind Ink and one of our Illinois' own students, is out there right now, Natalia Abar. So they're going to talk about Blind Ink. Jamie and Natalia, welcome.
Good morning, fellow Federationists. Sorry we can't be there in person. We're having some changes up here, as some of you may heard, and we were not able to secure plane tickets, so we do apologize. We've been listening, though, to your Zoom, and very proud of the Bell students and the college students that have spoke so far, and graduates of Blind Ink, I will mention. That's very awesome. Blind Ink, so in the Federation, we like to use acronyms that have some fun names with them. So Blind Ink stands for Blindness Learning in New Dimensions, otherwise known as Blind Incorporated. We were founded in 1986 by Joyce Scanlon and others members of the National Federation of the Blind of Minnesota. We're currently housed in the Charles S. Pillsbury Mansion, just south of downtown Minneapolis. We are special in our training to the other training centers because we have a couple extra classes. Besides the typical classes of cane travel, home management, braille, computers, and industrial arts, we also have a fitness class and a careers class. We also have a separate track for students who are learning English as a second language, our ELL, English Language Learners, classes. So students who have just come to the United States or who have never learned English start in the ELL program and then transfer to the regular adjustment to blindness training. Currently, we have 10 full-time students, so we are one of the smaller centers. We have 4 students that come during the day, so we have some day students that live in Minnesota, or in Minneapolis, rather, and then just come for training during the day. And then we have 4 ELL students. Our full-time students stay in our apartments, which are fully furnished, and are a train and a bus ride from the center. So they do get experience in different transportation modes. We can currently house up to 15 students. So if you're interested, definitely let us know. We have spaces available. And as I had mentioned earlier, we are going through a little bit of a transition. The previous director resigned in August after 4 years. So Blind Incorporated is currently seeking an executive director. The job announcement was posted a couple weeks ago, and we're hoping to find some great candidates for that position. We're also looking for cane travel instructors, people with their NOMC. We have one NOMC currently who has actually transitioned into the communications class, but has thankfully been willing to step up and continue to teach cane travel. As we get more students, we're hoping to increase our staff back to the normal amount of having 2 teachers per class. Right now, the only class that has 2 teachers is the communications department. We are also unique in that we do a lot of fun winter activities, as you may imagine, up here in Minnesota. I was told that last year we got 96 inches of snow, which I think might have beat Nebraska, where I'm from, just a little bit. We got an inch. So, yeah, snow activities up here are definitely a thing, including doing some dog sledding, some ice castles, some ice mazes. It all sounds very cold to me, but also very cool. So if you're interested in some snow travel, this is definitely the place to be. Again, we are one of the smaller training centers of our three NFB training centers. So class sizes do tend to be a little bit smaller. We also have a lot of diversity within our student population, and students do come from all over the country to attend our program. One of our students, as you were told just a little bit ago, is from Illinois, and I'm going to have him talk a little bit about his experience at Blind Incorporated. Natalio, take it over.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Natalio Abar, and I am a board member for the Illinois Association of Blind Students. I had started attending Blind Incorporated at the end of March. And my reasons for going, or two main reasons rather, is I wanted to improve my cooking skills as well as regain my confidence to independently travel. Now, I live in Romeoville, Illinois. Some of you may know that public transportation is pretty much non-existent out there. So although I did go to elementary school in Chicago and had very brief training with our public transit system in Chicago, I moved out to the suburbs of Chicago in around, I want to say 2011 for high school. So I didn't have too much training with Chicago's public transit system. And I moved out to Romeoville in 2014. So I was in the process of getting ready to go out to DeKalb, Illinois to finish out my degree to become a teacher of the visually impaired. But I thought it would be a good idea to attend Blind Incorporated to improve on my travel skills before making that transition. Now, since I'm around like 7 months into the program, I've gained plenty of experience in both of those areas. Home management, I had just completed my large meal. And for those who don't know, home management is primarily a class that focuses on cooking. You can be doing something as simple as learning knife skills as you're starting off to doing something as advanced as completing a independent breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or even a small and large meal for the entire center. I should mention that also a small meal is for guests around like maybe six people. So a small little dinner party and large meal is a meal for the whole center, which I just completed around a week ago. I will say from my personal experience that I gained a lot in that area. Of course, I still have a little bit more work to do, but the beautiful thing about Blind Incorporated, as Jamie explained, is that students are housed in the Quadon Delaware Apartments, which is tied to the University of Minnesota. And we are essentially put in the position where we have to cook for ourselves. So we not only have, you know, learn these skills at Blind Incorporated, but we get to practice them on our time off so we can grow proficient in all of these skills. I was always told by my previous travel instructors that I was a very, very good independent traveler. Now, one thing about Blind Incorporated is that you have to wear sleep shades, which is essentially a blindfold where people who are sighted are forced to rely on their other senses so that they're not relying primarily on their residual vision. And although I was told by multiple travel instructors that I'm very good at independent travel, I always had the downfall of relying on my residual vision. Now, I'll never forget when I started my travel class with one of our travel instructors, Yadiel, I went across Nicollet and 22nd, which is pretty much a really busy, I wouldn't say really busy street, but it's up there. And having to cross that street with my shades on was a big challenge for me. And when I got back to the center, I told them, I was like, I got to be honest with you, Yadiel. I lifted up my shades, man. And the one piece of advice that I have to give any student who is planning on attending the center is that you have to trust the system. Having to rely primarily on my senses for travel was very difficult at the start. And that is something that all students have to get used to who have residual vision. And when I completed my first drop, I'm proud to say I didn't lift my shades once. And for me personally, that felt as a huge accomplishment, because not only at that point in time did I regain my confidence in travel, I also did it with the aspect of doing it totally blind. So that's just a little brief experience, or my brief summary of experiences at Blind Inc. I personally can say it has been a program that has benefited me tremendously. And I feel that I learned a plethora of skills that I can transition to my life after Blind Inc.
Thanks, Natalia. Could you real quick tell us what the final two requirements for travel are?
Sure. So as I explained, I had participated in a drop route, which is essentially a route in which, or well, not necessarily a route, but an activity in which you're taken by a travel instructor and our staff member at the center, currently Dan Ashman. You're going to, drive around, or I'm sorry, Dan will do all the driving. And his goal is essentially to disorient you, drop you in a place that you're not familiar, well, somewhat familiar with. And then your goal is to figure out your location and reorient yourself, so to speak, so that you can find your way back to the center. So essentially, you're lost and your goal is to get back to the center, which will give you an expansive task of utilizing all the travel skills, like reorienting yourself, figuring out which streets that you're on, locating bus stops, and even train stations if you need to. And there's three of these routes. So the first one is an assisted route, which is done with a travel instructor, and they'll show you how to essentially utilize the many skills that you're learning in this course to do it independently. And after this first assisted drop route, you will have three independent drop routes. So there's four drop routes in total. First is assisted. The next three are independent. So that's what the first main requirement. I have one more of those to go, which I plan on doing in 2 weeks. And the second requirement of the travel course is your monster route, which is where you'll have to pick three different locations in three different cities, with the exception of Minneapolis. So let's say if you wanted to pick a location, let's say in Bloomington, Minnesota. Okay, you can do that. And then you can do one in St. Paul. And then you can also do one in, let's say, Edina. You can do essentially whatever your heart desires. And you cannot use Minneapolis as one of those locations, because after you do those three locations on your monster route, you're tasked with then traveling back to the center, which is in Minneapolis. So you will have to use public transportation. You can't use Ubers or anything like that. Your shades have to be on during the entirety of the route, but it is essentially, you can say, the final exam for the travel course.
Very good. And we know that Natalia is definitely going to smash that. He won't have any problems.
Sure hope so.
He's looking to graduate in mid-November, so we're really proud of him. He's accomplished a lot, and I know he'll go on to do great things. He has expressed interest in staying in the Minneapolis area, so I do apologize, Illinois. It sounds like Minnesota may be stealing him away. So the greatest thing that I want everyone to know is that no matter the age or the skill level, training can always help you. Some of us have been blind all of our lives. Some of us are newly blind. We have young ones such as Ben and Alec. We have older individuals who are maybe retired but still needing to get some training to remain in their homes. We accept people of all ages, all abilities, and you can come and learn those skills to remain independent or to go on and do great things like we know Natalia is going to do. So if you need additional information, please contact us. You can go to our website, which is blindinc.org. You can come up and visit us there in Minneapolis. And we want you to come and build your future. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie and Natalia. Natalia, I don't know if you were able to hear the applause when you mentioned that you did your first drop without lifting your shades. So I just wanted to make sure that you were aware. We're all proud of you. And, you know, if things don't work out in Minneapolis, you can always come on back home to Illinois. All right, Debbie Stein, are you prepared? I know our next presentation is from Kim Borowitz, the Bureau Chief of the Illinois Bureau of Blind Services, to give us an update on services, but we do have an adoption, a resolution that's pending adoption on the floor later this afternoon. And because it's related to the Illinois Bureau of Blind Service, we want to make sure that Bureau Chief Borowitz is aware of this resolution.
I got you.
Okay. Resolution 2023 number 1 regarding the failure of the state of Illinois to remedy pervasive staffing vacancies at the Bureau of Blind Services. Hold on 1 second. Whereas the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois, NFBI, has advocated to enhance opportunity and equality for the blind by assuring the availability and quality of adjustment to blindness and rehabilitation services. And whereas the Department of Rehabilitation Services, Bureau of Blind Services, BBS, provides vocational rehabilitation services to blind persons in finding and retaining competitive integrated employment. And whereas, to accomplish its goals, BBS requires an adequate staff of qualified personnel who are invested in its clients. But whereas, over the last 5 years, there have been pervasive vacancies at BBS. In 2018, the Department of Rehabilitation Services, DORS, reported at least 66 vacant positions, 35 VR counselor positions, 9 rehabilitation and mobility instructor positions, and 22 rehabilitation case coordinator positions, representing 17.1, 37.1, and 16% of VR counselor, instructor, and coordinator positions, respectively. And whereas DORS asserted that it anticipated returning to a more normal pattern of staffing in the near future, but whereas despite similar assurances in each year up to and including 2023, the staffing shortfalls have not improved, leaving important positions critical to BBS operations vacant, and whereas the state of Illinois' failure to adequately manage BBS have compromised its mission, resulting in BBS being successful in obtaining adjustment to blindness or employment outcomes for only a small fraction of those seeking services. And whereas this failure of the state of Illinois to address the legitimate needs and expectations of blind persons seeking the training and opportunities that would make blindness less of a barrier ignores the state's obligation to many of its disabled citizens. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois in convention assembled this Saturday, October 14th, 2023, in the city of Naperville, Illinois, that this organization call upon the Office of the Governor and its Department of Central Management Services to develop and implement a plan that remedies the current staffing and service inadequacies at the Bureau of Blind Services.
Move the adoption.
Second.
Thank you, Debbie, for reading that motion, the resolution. So we will have the resolutions later in the afternoon, but we wanted to make sure that Bureau Chief Borowitz is aware of our actions to move forward to get those vacancies filled. Kim Borowitz, if you are able to unmute, we welcome you to the convention.
Can you hear me okay?
Okay. Can Dave, could you please withdraw your motion because we have not gotten to that part of the convention? Okay, Dave has withdrawn his motion.
All right.
Well, just let them be affiliate. Go ahead, Marilyn.
All right. Are you available, Kim?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kim Borowitz, and I'm the Bureau Chief for Blind Services in the state's Division of Rehabilitation Services. I'm so sorry I can't be there with you today. I've had a cold all week and did not want to share my germs with all of you in the room today. So just a quick background on what the division does and what our goals are. So as part of the Division of Rehabilitation Services, our main goal is to help blind people in the state of Illinois with getting employment, and specifically competitive integrative employment. So by competitive, we mean, you know, employment at a good wage and with benefits and leave and those types of things. And in terms of integrated, we mean, you know, with our peers that may not have disabilities, so that we're really trying to help blind folks in Illinois achieve the employment that they desire. So a main focus of our program is we have rehabilitation counselors on staff. So these counselors can help blind people figure out their job course, and we have them put together a plan for employment, which is a goal for employment that the person may have and want to achieve. And so there are many things we can do within the division to help folks who are blind in Illinois achieve their goal for employment. So we have different funding streams we can use to help folks, blind folks potentially pay for college or community college, vocational training programs, and those sorts of things. We also can help by providing and paying for laptop, computer, assistive technology like Fusion or JAWS for folks. In addition, just to kind of go off of the last couple of presentations, we are able to fund training centers such as Blind Inc. and, you know, have done that to help different customers as well. achieve the different blindness skills that have been talked about in other presentations this morning. We also, as part of our division, we have a training center in Chicago, a state-run training center. It has dormitories, so folks that are maybe from downstate Illinois can stay on site. And then if someone is in Chicago locally, we can pay for transportation for them, whether it be paratransit or through the taxi access program in Chicago, to help them get to the program during the week, for that. And so, like has been talked about earlier in terms of blindness skill training, at that training center, we provide Braille training. So I started in this position a little over a year ago. So I've been trying to think back to like my last presentation last year at the NFB of Illinois conference, convention, and kind of different goals I had set out. And this has kind of been a good time for me to kind of reflect on like where I've been able to help the Bureau get in the last year. But something that really surprised me when I first started in this position was people really worried, you know, will this new Bureau chief be committed to Braille? And I was like, well, why would I not be committed to Braille? I think it was just a fear of folks, but, you know, please know I'm very committed to the teaching of Braille. As a high partial myself, I had never learned Braille, but they've loaned me one of the curriculum books from the Braille room, and I've been doing self-study. I've gotten myself up to the letter L. So please know I'm very committed to the teaching of Braille, and I completely understand like all the importance of Braille. So Braille is one thing we can teach at our training center. We also teach assistive technology. We have a room that's set up like an apartment, a classroom that's set up like an apartment, so we can teach people cooking, doing their laundry, cleaning. We have different types of stovetops set up, you know, whether they be like electric or gas. Teaching people, you know, we teach people all the way up to, you know, JAWS commands and, you know, those kind of like more involved technology skills, all the way to kind of more simple things like how to put bump dots on, whether it be your keyboard for your computer or on your stove or on your microwave. So while we can do that at the training center, we can also do that in people's homes themselves. And so in addition to the training center, we have rehabilitation instructors throughout the state that can help folks, whether it be virtually or in their homes, learn the same types of things that they could learn at the training center. So Braille, orientation and mobility, technology, cooking skills, and those sorts of things. So another part of our program, so I talked about the training program and then what we call our vocational rehabilitation program. Another part of our program is the Business Enterprise Program for the Blind. And I know we have a couple of vendors in the room, and so glad that your national representative is from the National Association of Blind Merchants. So what this program is in the state is that our state has first priorities for vending operations, both in federal government buildings and in state government buildings. And so what that means is that we can set up vending machines or like maybe a snack shop or a coffee shop. And then we, as the state, can then help blind folks run those operations and make self-employment income. So as a state, for example, like we can pay for the vending machines and then we're responsible for finding and identifying those sites. And then we can help blind folks get set up in the program. So just a couple of numbers. We have 60 right now blind vendors in the program, and the average earnings for them is $51,000 annually. Something that we are really working on is that we right now have vendors who don't have sites. So we're really working on as a program, identifying more vending sites that we can set folks up in. We also are working on ramping up our training program to help train new vendors. So last year we had two folks in the training program. This current cohort, we have four. So I know that those are small numbers, but, you know, kind of looking at, I could say, you know, we doubled, but really looking at, we have two training staff now. We just hired a training staff person in Chicago, and we have one in Springfield. So those are really goals, you know, that I'm saying out loud and are really working on for the vending program. And then a fourth, but not last, but not least, fourth program in our division is our grants program. So like I said, a lot of the focus and the main focus within our division is employment. But we were really thinking about, hey, what if, you know, are there ways we can help blind folks who maybe aren't seeking employment? So maybe they're retired and they're losing their vision like at a later age. And so these grants we give to different nonprofits throughout the state, and they can help folks. Some of them are for folks 55 and over who may be losing their vision. We can help them with assistive technology, O&M, and independent living skills, kind of those same skills I was like listing out for the training center. So that's kind of a glimpse at our program. I did want to say, I know that the teacher in the room earlier asked, like, what would like a high school student who's blind say to her as advice? But something I would say, like, to you and other teachers is, we can help, and this is not just for teachers, but for everyone in the room, like, we can help folks starting at the age of 14. So we're not set up for like people like kindergarten or like those younger ages, but we can help folks 14 and up. So, and that's true, like even if the person's employment goal like includes college. So like we as a division could be at the IPEs, the IEP is an employment plan, the IEP is an education plan, but we can be at IEP meetings at the school and, you know, helping with talking about, you know, whether we can help fund certain college goals, or like even if someone doesn't feel ready for college but would want to go to college but they're not ready right out of high school, help them like set up in like maybe a training program similar to Blind Inc. Like, I myself went to a training program similar to Blind Inc. In Michigan my summer between high school and college, and it was life-changing. Like, how, like, some of the other students talked about, like, living in a place that has no public transit, and that was my situation growing up in Michigan, and then going to a training center and, like, being around a bus system for the first time, like, I'm getting chills talking about it. So, it's very, like, I'm very committed to helping folks learn these skills and also committed to, you know, what was just talked about in the resolution, these years of vacancies. And, you know, in my year and a couple months at the Bureau, I've really been trying to do my part to help with those vacancies. And I really commit to increasing those numbers, you know, because we do need the help here in the Bureau. The last quick thing I wanted to talk about, because I know I'm coming up on time and I do want to let people ask, like, open up for questions, is our division's commitment to ending subminimum wage jobs. So I know that this has been a big issue in the blindness community, and what I mean by this is, you know, folks getting paid $1, $2 an hour who are blind or may have other disabilities, you know, when we really can do what we can as a division to support them in getting like higher wages. Another statistic in our division is that the average earnings, hourly earnings for customers achieving employment in our Bureau of the Blind program is $23 an hour. And we really do try to work towards helping folks get those jobs that are competitive. So two things I wanted to know about subminimum wage is that Our division recently received a $14 million grant from the federal government. We were one of 13 states to receive this, and we received the second highest amount of any state to help move folks in the state of Illinois who might be in subminimum wage jobs into competitive integrated employment. So within that grant, we are working with six service providers throughout the state that have these 14C certificates, which are those certificates that like would allow them to pay lower wage to folks with disabilities. We are working with them to shift, you know, to the amount that we can and to the amount that like the individual with a disability is open to it. Because of course this is like jobs of choice, to, you know, help folks, man, you know, help folks earn more than, you know, that couple of bucks an hour, help them earn, you know, those competitive wages. And then also, and I know NFE of Illinois has worked on this really diligently, but also just saying our division support for the Dignity and Pay Act. Illinois, and someone in the room probably has the exact numbers on this, but Illinois is one of the states that still has these 14C certificates. Other states have been able to eliminate them. So, you know, really in support of this act that would help like eliminate those subminimum wage parts within the state. But yeah, just a quick wrap up for me. Please know I am working really hard for you all. I'm very well aware of the vacancy issues and am working to do my part. I'm working on improving technology access at our training center. So yeah, just many issues that I'm very committed to. And thank you so much for having me here today. I'm so bummed that I can't be in the room and share in the awesome community that you all make at your conventions. It's one of my favorite parts of this job is when I get to be in rooms with, you know, other blind folks and share in what we're doing. So I know I couldn't be like as interesting and fun as the kiddos that talked earlier, but I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. So because we're a little after time, I will ask for two, no more than three very concise questions for Kim to answer. So if you have a question, be mindful of the time, because we do need to clear the room so that the staff can set up for lunch. Okay, Avant, and then is there someone else? Okay, Meyer. Okay, Condon, those will be the three. So Avant, then Meyer, and then Condon. Again, please be mindful of the time because Kim will need to answer these questions as well.
Okay, Ms. Borowitz, I wanted to know if at iCreewood you are teaching both reading and writing Braille with a slate and stylus as well as on a Braille rack.
Yes. Students are taught slate and stylus.
All right. David Meyer, can we get a mic to Dave Meyer, please?
Yes, Ms. Borowitz, wanted to know what the status is at this point on the client handbook.
Is this the informed choice client handbook, the other resolution?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah, we have not produced that yet. I sent a draft to your president, but and I agree with her assessment that it didn't go the full mile that we were trying to get. So right now, me and your president are looking if there's other state examples that I can use. But I am completely open to doing, like I have nothing against doing the informed choice handbook. I honestly just haven't had a chance to draft it. But you know, I do have the Code of Federal Regulations rule on it. And I'm committed to doing that. Your president has opened us up to setting up a meeting to talk through that. And you know, I can definitely on my end work on a better, more comprehensive draft than what we've already submitted. But please know I'm committed to it.
Muti Kanda.
All right. Thanks, Justin. Hi, Kim. Dr. Muti Kanda here. Thanks again for...
Hi.
Hi, yeah. You know, I'm going to keep it brief.
I'm glad I got to see you last week, but I don't get to see you this week.
Sure, Kim, yeah. You know, I'm going to keep it brief for now, but, you know, as required, I can follow up with you offline. So my question is, you know, with regards to the onboarding process, you know, there seems to be some systemic and programmatic issues that are, you know, delaying onboarding process and dragging it into... Okay. Months, you know, but like, you know, there are some states that I'm aware of, for example, in California, you know, the onboarding can be completed in a matter of weeks and the candidates can start getting their training and so on, you know, let's say in the
right away
week. Yeah. So I mean, the ways they're able to do that is, you know, they kind of partner and work closely with, for example, lighthouses and
of course.
Yeah, and low vision clinics and so on. So, you know, my request to you is that it would be great if you and your team can look into ways, you know, how, you know, your department can work more closely with, you know, the lighthouses and, you know, low vision clinics so that we can expedite this process of onboarding.
Right. And there's no reason like we can't do that. Like, literally the lighthouse is right across the street from my office at the training center. So yeah, I hear you, Dr. Kanda. And we will work, you know, to make these processes faster. Cause I agree. Some of the referral processes are too slow on our part. And I think the vacancies are part of that. So me working on that, will help with that as well.
Thanks, Kim.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Chief Borowitz. So I will mention, as Chief Borowitz mentioned, she did send me a draft. I sent it to the resolution's co-chairs, and I went back and said it didn't go far enough. So
right.
If the co-chairs are willing to send that draft to the resolutions committee, I would be happy to share it, but I want to make sure that the co-chairs are comfortable with that so that you can see that there has been some movement on that resolution. But I told Chief Borowitz last week when I saw her, we the blind of Illinois need to know our rights, and what has
right.
been produced us thus far does not go far enough, so that we know what our choices are and how we can appeal so that we can move forward and live the lives we want. But I thank you, Chief Borowitz, for being here with us. Even though you're under the weather, we thank you so much. Please, if you want to stay for more of the convention and continue the stream, we welcome you. And with all of that being
said, I will. Thank you. Thank you for having me, everyone.
For 20 minutes. We will be back in this room for our lunch that will be led by our students. Woo-hoo. Thank you.
Stand up, turn around, and leave the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stand up.
Ronza Offman, Kathy Randall, if you're in the room, if I could see you up front briefly. Yeah.